All right, everybody, and welcome back to Nerd Talk. And this is your co-host, Micah. And this week, we actually kind of hijacked the podcast. And I'm welcoming the Scott Stedman back because he wanted to talk more about video games. Scott, welcome back.
Yeah, that's why Jordan's not here, because he hates video games. And of course, when we think about nerd culture, you have to throw video games in there. So the rest
he just wants to talk about Legos.
He just wants to talk about Legos and Marvel and DC. I want to talk about Nintendo and Xbox and PlayStation
and video games, video games, video games.
Omega, Commodore 64, like
the Super Famicom.
Super Famicom or the Apple Vision Pro.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh my gosh.
Saw a video the other day. It was like when my mom tried on my new Apple Vision Pro and she ran right into the kitchen cabinet and broke it. It's like $3,500.
Yeah.
Oh, so anyway, we're going to do a podcast today on video games. And I thought it would be pretty fitting. Scott and I have done episodes before on Mario, some of the Mario franchise. And we've talked about the different, you know, the Mario All-Stars. We talked about Super Mario World. We've talked about like our top 10 favorite video games of all time. You name it, we've talked about it. But Scott wanted some more video game content, which I'm totally with him because I play video games pretty much every day. But today we're gonna kind of go back to Mario, and we're gonna go Super Mario Brothers 3. And the question I have for you, Scott, to just kind of kick it off is, why is Super Mario Brothers 3 the greatest Mario Brothers game of all time?
Oh,
and a lot of people's eyes.
Oh, okay. So I think when you think about the Super Mario Brothers 3, it really boils down to the progression of Mario on the NES era systems. Mm-hmm. So let's say, so first Super Mario Brothers, the very first one, you can move forward, you can't move backwards. You have these warp zones that you can move a little bit quicker. When you got hit, if you were tall, you got hit, you shrunk. If you had firepower, if you got hit, you went small. And for the most part, it had a level degree of challenge. From World 1-1 is a lot different than World 8-1. So a lot of challenge, a lot of degree. But for the most part, when you look at the levels, besides your water level and your maybe like your sky level, the platforming levels are pretty much the same. Even when you're in the underground levels, they pretty much flow the same. Still bricks, still pipes, not much variety. Super Mario Brothers 2, if you want to call that a Super Mario Brothers game. I know there's controversy about that.
Now, are you saying Lost Levels, or are you saying the other one that's not?
I'm saying Super Mario Bros. 2, not Super Mario Lost Levels. I'm talking about the one that was you just put Mario characters over Doki Doki Panic. Because that's kind of what Mario Brothers 2 is. With Wart the Frog blowing bubbles at you. And I mean, the only character from that game that has ever made it over to the Mario lore was Shy Guy and Birdo, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
None of those other characters are in the game. Now, they were in the Super Mario Super Show cartoon back when I was a kid and watched it, but that was it. But with that, you could go backwards. You had different maps to explore, and you had four characters you could choose from. Wasn't everyone's favorite game. It wasn't everyone's favorite cup of tea, but for the most part, it was pretty good. And you also had a mini game. When you completed the level, if you got enough of those coins, you had a slot machine mini game that you could play. So when you get to Mario Brothers 3, you kind of improve on both Mario 1 and Mario 2, where you now have a full map. That's the first time you introduced a map that you could explore. Yep. Sometimes there's hidden areas on the map if you have certain items like a hammer or a whistle. You had mini bosses, which you kind of had mini bosses with Birdo and like some of the bosses at the end of each level. But for the most part, you had certain levels. You also had different bonus games, and you also had different costumes. So yes, you could be Big Mario. You can shoot fire. You can be Raccoon Mario.
Suit.
The Tanuki suit. The Hammer Bros suit. the cloud. You can even get in the cloud where you're kind of flying in a cloud. You have the permanent pig wing, which makes you fly the whole entire level. You also had the frog suit where you can swim in water. I think I might have said that already. But there's a lot of – and you also could get a star. So at the beginning level, you can have star power and run right through the level. So there are a lot of options that you could do. And every time you start a level, you also had a thing to save all those things. So when you go to a toad house, you could save all those things and then you can use them anytime. And I think one time, I think when I did just a straight run through and just played every single level and didn't use any warps, I think I had at least maybe three or four bars full. Like they rotate, you could rotate through them. So
yeah, I think you could get up to three or four of those.
And so you had a lot of, so you obviously, but if you played the game all the way through, you had a lot. Now, if you want to speed run it, you could do it. And also, the level design was so different. Each world had a different level design, whether it was desert, whether it was big, where everything was giant. And you could be in castles, you could be in haunted houses, or, oh no, there wasn't even, I don't think there was.
There was fortresses.
There's fortresses that had ghosts, but then you also had the airships. And then you also had the levels where you had tanks. And then you're kind of going around while there's tanks going around. So there was a lot of – and then you had a lot more enemies. So it wasn't just Goomba, Turtle, you know. And a
Bowser.
A bunch of variations. Bowser. You had all of Bowser's kids. You had Bowser himself. And you also had a variety of different enemies that could mess you up. Like I think Mario 3 – I hated that fish, that big gigantic fish that would jump out of the water and like swallow you whole. Like,
yeah.
Oh man. Like, it's like, what the heck is this? Like, I thought, oh, it's just going to hit me and then I'll just lose my power. Nope. Just swallow me whole. So I think because of the versatility, I think what makes Mario 3, and then plus the graphics were a lot better. It was a lot cleaner. I mean, and not only can you go backwards and forwards, you can even go up and down. Like you can fly up and there's clouds up there. So there was so much exploration you could do in Mario Brothers 3. And then once you got to Super Mario World, you kind of didn't really have a good item system. Like you had like the one thing. So if you, but the thing is if you got hit, you could use that item instantly while you're playing the game. You didn't have to wait till the beginning of the level to pick an item. So they changed that a little bit. And then even though you had secrets and stuff, everything kind of followed a very systematic. It was almost like they went all out with Mario 3 and made things very exploratory for a platformer. And then their next platformer, they're kind of pulled in the reins a little bit on Super Mario World. But yeah, I think that's why – I think that's the reason why Mario 3 is the best, because they just did – so it was almost like any idea that they had for Mario, they said, let's integrate this in this game and see how much we could push the limits of not only the NES console, but how much we could put on a cartridge.
Yeah, something I noticed, and I think I told you this before we started recording, but over the weekend I reran Super Mario 3 and just played the whole thing. And then I started playing Super Mario World to kind of like differentiate the differences that you see. And one of the things I noticed was the bar where you could store all your elements, you know, your mushroom, your star, your P wings, you know, all those things. Mario 3 definitely had more in respect to different suits, different abilities, things like that. But then when you get to Super Mario World, you get the cape instead of the raccoon tail. You get Yoshi. Yoshi's not in the third one. And it's like there's kind of these trade-offs. But like when I was playing Super Mario World the other day, it was like, wow, it'd be really cool to have the raccoon tail in this. It'd be really cool to have the Tanuki suit or, you know, the hammer suit. And especially in like water levels, because there's a lot more water levels in Super Mario World, it'd be cool to have the frog suit because you're, you know, able to jump more and you're able to swim better. And so I'm a big fan of Mario 3. And for the longest time, I'm very pro Super Mario World. I mean, I just grew up with that game as well. But Super Mario 3 is definitely, probably, in my opinion, the best Super Mario Brothers game that there is. In the classic realm of the era of games, because, you know, I think I shared on this podcast and other places that, you know, my first gaming system growing up was the Super NES, and my uncles got it for me for Christmas one year, and I got the cartridge of Super Mario Brothers, or I'm sorry, Super Mario All-Stars plus Super Mario World, which had Mario 1, Mario 2, Mario 3, the Lost Levels, and Super Mario World all in one cartridge. And with the Super Mario All-Stars, they kind of remastered the originals, right? So, like, they're still the same game that you played on the NES. It's just they just have better graphics, better consoles. Mario looks a little bit different. The worlds look a little bit more clearer than what you get with the 8-bit console with the NES. And it was weird because
save file too.
Yes, you could. Yeah, you could save and quit and all those fun things. Back to Super Mario World 3. What was your favorite like world within the map? Because that map was so iconic.
It's My goodness, I think that's a hard question to answer because there were some good ones. I think my favorite would have to be the giant world.
Yeah,
like the first time you see that big gigantic Goomba, when you see that big gigantic Goomba, you're like, "Holy cow!"
Or the Hammer Brother when they jump up and they land, and like, you, if you're not in the air, like it freezes you.
It freezes you because you shake a little bit. Yeah, so I think that was always a big thing. I think the other, so that was probably my favorite level, was the giant level.
What was your least favorite?
I think my least favorite had to be World 8, like the last level with Bowser.
The Valley of Bowser?
The Valley of Bowser was hard, and it wasn't necessarily that, but there's one particular section where you're playing levels, and there's that,
hand?
One map thing where it's like the little like pulsing tiles, and sometimes if you were lucky, you could, especially when you automatically warp there, and you don't really have a good collection of items with you, sometimes you can get very lucky and pass through those five blocks without a hand reaching up and grabbing you and pulling you down to do a very difficult level. But man, sometimes those hands would pull you depending on where you are, depending on what level you're playing. And some of those levels that the hand pulled you in, if you were not prepared or you were a small Mario, you pretty much were toast. Like it was a done deal, like fireballs and fish jumping at you, and you had lava, and it's like, holy cow.
I think I liked World 4. I think it was 4, where like there was only a couple of levels, and then you beat that like fortress, and then it took you to the clouds.
Yes.
Is that World 4?
And then I think that's World 4, because then there's a little section when you're up in the clouds where you can kind of see like the world you were just in. It was almost like you're up in the clouds, which I thought was a cool little
thing.
Like you just, you went up this beanpole, and the next thing you know, you can kind of see the world you're just at. It's real down there, small at the bottom, because you're now up in the clouds.
World 3 was pretty cool too, because it was the water level or the water world. And then like you had to beat certain levels in a certain order for the bridges to come up and down so that you could get, you know, to the Goomba house or, I'm sorry, is it the Goomba house? Mushroom house.
Yeah.
And get, you know, your special items and whatnot. I think for me, like the Valley of Bowser, like I didn't mind that as much until you get to the fortress in the Valley of Bowser. I thought that was like one of the hardest levels in that game. And I can, and even to this day, I always forget like the combination where you have to go to beat it. You have to like go like through a certain number of doors, and then you have to go, you have to get a certain P, you have to mash the P to get down to the other side. And then if it's not there, you have to go down and get another P and then go to this door so that you can get to the end. And if you don't do it right, you run out of time and you die. It's certainly, in my opinion, one of the most difficult. If I were to pick one that I didn't like the most, I would probably say World 7. I just was not a fan. It was the pipe level or the pipe world where all the pipes.
Oh, yeah.
And that's probably my least favorite level, or I'm sorry, world out of the whole map. But what were you going to say? I'm sorry. I was.
No, but I think what you're describing too is it just shows how versatile Mario 3 was, because it was challenging. And I think sometimes with certain levels, they may have been so challenging that if you were smart enough to save some of those items, like especially some of those tank levels, I think there's one tank level where if I was just to warp all the way to World 8 and then try to go through that, I would immediately get destroyed. But if I work through it and I'm able to get up a couple items, I think there's one level at a tank. Every time I start with the P wing, and I can fly through the whole entire level, bypass everything, and just drop in the pie and fight the what is it? The boom boom? Is that like with that little like monster that like wings its hands in the air, like boom boom? Like you fight that guy, and it's like, oh wow, that level is so easy. Because I just like bypassed all the difficult parts and just went right there. But I mean, as a kid, you know, you had to freedom to figure out, okay, how can I complete this level? Like, hey, I'm in world 3 and I have this frog suit. Cool. But now I'm at a level where the frog suit's not really good because I don't have much control. So I need to switch to a different suit, or I'm going to have to say goodbye, frog suit, and go get something else.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was one of the most, you know, the biggest things that was a differentiator between 3 and Mario World, Super Mario World, was that you were able to store all of the things in that little, what was that called? Like your little, like storehouse.
Item box,
like your
little, I think like an item box. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like, you know, you could literally just press a button and go through your little pages and pick what you wanted. Mm-hmm. It, to me, made so much more sense. But then when you get to Super Mario World, like you have like the top secret area, for example. Mm-hmm. And so you're able to go back and get a Yoshi and get 2 fire flowers and 2 capes or 2 mushrooms or whatever you needed. It definitely has its advantages. And like you said, like I subscribe to the NES, SNES, whatever you call it, on my Switch. Do you have that? Do you guys have that?
Yeah, the Switch Online.
Yeah, so like, if you get the NES catalog and the SNES catalog, like you get those games, and so like that's how I play those even to this day, except for when I'm playing like ROM hacks and whatnot. And so, yeah. It's cool to go back and play those, but let's talk about Bowser for a second. Like, what did you think of the final Bowser fight? Did you think that castle was harder than like Super Mario World or Super Mario Brothers? Or
I
think it's one of the more difficult castles.
I think it's a difficult castle. I think fighting Bowser was not that difficult, because when you're fighting Bowser, really what you have to do is just jump over the fire. And then when he jumps on the bricks, you just have to move out of the way. Now, if you have a fire flower, you can like shoot fireballs at him and destroy him. But for the most part, it's like he wasn't as difficult as Mario 1, where he's not only shooting fireballs at you, but he's throwing hammers at you, and you only have like a small window to either try to jump over him or to run underneath him to hit that axe to cut the bridge. Like, it was like, I felt like he was like Rambo Bowser, just throwing everything at you. Like, he really did not want you to destroy him. Where I felt like this one, he's shooting fire, he's jumping up and down. Sometimes I think some of the Bowser's kids were a lot harder than him.
So which kid did you think was harder?
Oh geez, I think Lucy might have been the hardest, because if I remember, and I could
is that the girl?
That's the girl one, or no, Wendy. It's not Lucy. It's Wendy. But she would shoot those rings at you.
And sometimes, yeah, and every time you would hit her, she would throw another ring.
Yeah. So there'd be these, or there's one where I don't know if it's her or someone else, where if you hit them, they shoot another ball, and you just have like balls bouncing around. So you had to avoid them. But yeah, I think sometimes the Bowser's kids, or some of them, were a lot more challenging than actual Bowser himself. I feel like, by the time you got to Bowser, you have already went through hell, going through that entire level 8, the whole world 8 with the different airships and tanks and lava levels and hands pulling you down. Like, you went through all that difficulty within that level. But by the time you finally got through Bowser's castle and got to fight Bowser, it was like, oh, he's kind of easy in some ways.
Well, isn't there like a cheat where like if you have a fire flower, you can just sit there and like he can't get you, and you can just shoot fire at him and he'll just die?
Yeah, there is. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he can't touch you.
That's correct. Yes.
There, right. Or Yeah, or like you sit there. The other way to kill him is if you, you know, the whole brick, like he stomps at you, and then like the brick eventually breaks, and then you, then he falls through the hole.
Yeah.
There was also one of his kids, like the bigger one, maybe Roy or.
Yeah, Roy or Ludwig.
I think it was Roy, but like he jumps up and down similar to the Goombas when they're in the big, or the, I'm sorry, the Hammerbergs, yeah. With the bigger levels, the bigger world when everything is big. When they stomp, like if you're not in the air, it paralyzes you and you can't move. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
I felt like that one was difficult. And then I don't remember if it was Lenny or.
What was the name again?
There was Lenny or Lenny. One of them had like that. Yeah. One of them had like the balls, like every time. Like,
I think that one.
Yeah.
I think Lemmy had the balls, I believe.
And so like similar to Wendy with the rings, every time you hit her, she threw another ring. And so like they would just stay in the air. And so like you had to like move around and not hit them or you would lose your power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was your favorite part of, like, what's your favorite part about that game?
My favorite part about the game?
Like, what made it stand out for you, like, as one of the greatest Mario games?
I think the favorite part about that game was probably the multiplayer, because if you think about Mario 1, because, again, Mario 2 wasn't multiplayer. So Mario 1, the only multiplayer you had was, if I'm Mario, I could go through all these different levels, and then by the time I die, then that's when the player 2 can play. So if I'm playing with my sister and I'm really good and I can get through like world 1, world 2, world 3, I could probably get all the way to world 8 and she hasn't even played 1 second. By that time, she doesn't want to play anymore. She's bored because she hasn't played. Or then when she does play, she goes, she dies real quick, and then I get to play, and then it takes me like another 15, 20 minutes before she gets to play again. So it's very boring. But with Mario,
my wife would say the same thing about her brother because he would do the same thing when they were kids.
But like with Mario 3, after I complete a level, I go, I have my little M, so I kind of like own that spot. And then player 2 can go play the next level. So there's almost like a tag team effect going on. Plus, if you really wanted to, you could go on to where your player is, hit the button, and you can go into battle mode. And you can kind of play like the original like Mario Brothers game where you're hitting the blocks and pipes and you're doing that. And sometimes that could be helpful too, because like if I'm playing like with my sister's younger than me, and let's say there's a level she can't beat, well, she could either lose a life, or I can beat her in this Mario game, whether she wants to compete against me or not. And then if I beat her, then I now get to play again, which means I can now tackle that level. So in some ways, it's like, okay, if me and my sister want to battle just to fight, okay, we can do that. Or, hey, this level's difficult. Let's battle each other. I'm just going to sit back, or I'm going to hit the spike and lose automatically. So then you can go and take over this level, so then I can get the next one. And you can kind of almost like strategize with another player on how you're going to tackle the map and tackle certain levels.
Do you know off the top of your head how many levels there are in that game versus like Super Mario World? Because I think with Super Mario World, it's like 91 or 92 total levels.
I have no clue.
The reason I ask though is that like, you know, there's different maps, right? There's different worlds. And it seems to me, and you might be able to chime in on this more than I would, but like it seemed like the levels in Super Mario 3 were really, really short, but there were more of them. Whereas in Super Mario World, there might have been less and they were longer. Did you ever feel like the levels are too short?
I feel like the levels only got too short depending on how quickly I went through the levels.
Gotcha.
Like yeah, if I knew the secret, or if I decided, hey, I'm just going to get the P-Wing and just bolt right through this level, then I could fly through it pretty quickly. But if it was more of but if it was more of like if I'm playing it straight out and I want to kind of explore all the level, then I think each level had a good amount of pacing in it.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that, but it just felt like that makes more sense now that we're talking about, like, when you're flying through a level, like, no wonder they're pretty quick. But if you're one of those people that go through and literally get every coin and, you know, hit every question mark box and hit every one of your enemies, that game could take good 2-3 hours to beat. You talk about the P-Wing. I started doing this a little bit like a couple months ago when I run Super Mario 3 probably once a month just to play it. I use the P-Wing when I finally get to Bowser's Castle and just go through the whole thing with the P-Wing, because I can get to Bowser and actually beat him a lot quicker and beat that castle a lot quicker than if you were to not use it. So speaking of extra powers, what was your favorite suit or special power that Mario, you know, power up that Mario would get? Because there was a lot of different options. And talk about some of those.
Okay, so I would say probably the Tanuki suit's my favorite suit, because you think it's because in some ways you kind of think that it's just like the raccoon suit, but it's not, because you can actually turn into stone, which was very helpful because you can either smash your enemies. You can even smash enemies that you thought were like that weren't able to be beaten. Like, I think one time I defeated the Thwomp one time with the Tanuki suit, just kind of on accident. It was a complete accident. I was like, oh crap, I didn't know I could do that. But then the other thing that I thought was fascinating too was that I could even turn into a statue and enemies could just walk by me and I would not get hit. It's almost like I'm kind of hiding. So I thought there's a lot of versatility in that suit as well. So that was probably like one of my favorite suits. I did like the frog suit, only because I love the animation of, if you went to go do an airship level with the frog suit, because at the beginning you see Mario running and he jumps up and grabs the anchor to kind of go up into the ship. That's like the kind of like the little cut scene that they do. So seeing this little like frog suit moving real quickly, bouncing real quickly to jump up and grab that hook, made me laugh so hard because it looks so ridiculous. But it was so funny. So that would probably be my favorite scene, just for that reason, for comic effect.
Yeah, I was a big fan of the Tanuki suit too. What about the hammer suit?
I think I like the hammer suit because, you know, I feel like, especially, I think one of the hardest characters to always go against was the Hammer Brothers in the first Super Mario Brothers game. So the fact that in the third one, you now have the power to be a Hammer Brother and you could throw hammers at people and break blocks and do that, it kind of made you like, oh, like I'm bad now. Like I'm, you know, you almost kind of felt invincible in some ways having that suit, because you're like, ah, finally. And anytime I saw those Hammer Brothers, it's like, oh yeah, well, I'm going to get you back, because because now I can throw these stupid hammers at you from all the times you've killed me in the first Mario Brothers game. Like, that was kind of like my take to it.
Do you remember the red ones that would throw fireballs at you?
Yeah, the red ones. And weren't there ones that would throw boomerangs at you too?
Yes. I was playing a hack the other day, a Super Mario World hack, and instead of Fire Flower, Mario actually got the boomerangs that the Hammer Brothers would throw at you. So, like, I thought that was really cool. You know, with Mario 3, what would you say makes that game stand out even to this day, 40 years later?
I think all the things we've talked about, just the versatility of the different suits and what they can do, the freedom to, if you have a challenging level, you could easily use an item or use a specific item to kind of get through it. The ability to, you still have the ability to warp, like with the whistles, if you know where the whistles are, like even in the
first. What was your thought on the whistles? Like, you didn't really talk about the whistles, but like that was a different approach other than like, so like, let's talk about Super Mario 1, for example, Super Mario Brothers. Like, you get to 1-2 and you go above the world and you get to the pipes at the end where you can pick to go to worlds 2, 3, and 4. And then when you get to 4, 4-2, kind of the same deal. You get to the warp zone, you go to world 8 if you want. The whistle was something completely different.
It was. And I liked the whistle because when you blew the whistle and there's that do-do-do-do-do-do, like that was from The Legend of Zelda. So for me, it's like being a Zelda fan. It's like, ah, they're making a Zelda reference. Plus, I mean, you did have that whistle because that was the thing. Like when you blew the whistle, and that's kind of the funny thing, because when in The Legend of Zelda, if you blew the whistle, a little tornado would come and swoop you up and you would move to a different world. And I think that's what that would do, because when you blew the whistle, a tornado would come, pick you up, and then you go to the warp zone islands. And then what was nice about it is, you know, traditionally in Mario 1, you go through the whistle, you go to world 4, you go to the second level, you have to hit a block, climb up a vine, go up into the clouds, or actually, it wasn't even clouds, it was like mushrooms. And then that's how you got to world 8. So you'd have to like play a couple levels where you could get in the first couple of levels in world 1, you could get 2 whistles, blow the first whistle, go to warp zone to go 2, 3, or 4. But while you're on that world select map, you blow the whistle again, you automatically go to world 8.
Yeah. And so I don't know if I
should really. So no, you really play, I think you only play like maybe 4 levels. You can easily play 4 levels and get to world 8 automatically. Like that's a way you can quickly get to the very end of the game or get to the last level.
Something I didn't realize until a couple of weeks ago was if you're in world 2, which is the desert world, and right before the castle, if you beat one of the Hammer Brothers, you get a hammer and you can chisel that block right before the castle, and it takes you to another section of the map. And it's Hammer Brothers, but it's the one I described earlier that spit the fire at you, and it gets you another whistle. So technically you can get up to 3 whistles in the game. And I didn't know that for the longest time. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? Okay. So, but then, you know, I always hear on like, you know, online forums and stuff, you know, things like that, where, if you beat, you know, 1-3 and the fortress in the first, the level 3 in the first world, and then the fortress in the first world, you can go to world 8. But if you don't have anything stored up in your, I keep forgetting what we're calling that, where you can store all your mushrooms and your fire plants and what did you call it earlier? Your checkbox or your, what was the thing at the bottom of the screen where you select all your things?
Oh, the item box. I call it the item box. Yeah.
Okay. So the item box, if you get 2 whistles and warp to world 8, you're in the Valley of Bowser essentially with nothing, right? Unless you have power-ups. So like, is it possible to beat the game with a small Mario or just a mushroom Mario? Yeah, absolutely. But you're going to have more of a difficult time. And that was one of the benefits of beating the castles in each of the worlds, was like the princess would write you a letter at the end of each castle, and you'd either get like a P-Wing, you would get a cloud to skip a level, you would, and that's what I do a lot of times, honestly, is if I'm in world 8 and I don't want to beat that fortress because I can't remember it, I'll just use the cloud, skip that level, and then just go on to the ship or the tank right before Bowser's castle. I know there's 100 ways to play it, which I think is, again, what made the whistles and the warping so unique, was that you could go to pretty much any world and play it in any level. Like you could go 1, 4, 7, 8, you could go 1, 4, 8, you could play the whole game 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Scott, what was your favorite way to play that game? Or like, are you just a purist and like to run the whole game from beginning to end?
I think it depends. I think it depends. Like for me, if I'm casually playing, I'm going to play through all the worlds because I want to see, for me, it's more of, sometimes if you haven't played a game in a while, you want to see, okay, what was the art direction? I want to hear the different music for all these different worlds. See some of these different enemies. kind of find some of these secrets that, you know, that I forgot about, or see if I could still remember like some of these different secrets I used to be able to do. Now, if my kids are playing and they're going and they want to watch me and I want to kind of impress my kids, then I'm immediately going to World 8 and I'm just going to like blow through the whole game real quickly as fast as I can. Show them like, yeah, I'm the best kid. I'm the best video game player in the world. Like, kind of, you know, very, very pompous of me. But yeah, so that was kind of my so for me, that was kind of like the thing that I would do. So yeah, so other way, but yeah, that's kind of way. So I think if I'm just playing by myself, like I think like right when the pandemic hit, I actually decided to play all the Super Mario Brothers games, from Super Mario Brothers all the way to Super Mario Odyssey, and tried to do my best 100% all the games. And I think I did all of them except Mario Odyssey, because, you know, I still haven't gotten all the 999 moons yet. So I still have to work on that. But for the most part, I was able to play through all the games. And it was just great just to comment on it and even make those little, whatchamacallit, and even just kind of say, hey, look, here's some of the cool things about this game. Here's what I really like about this game. Here's how it kind of, here's some of the things that I like that kind of made it grow. And here's some of the things that I thought were kind of was weird. Like, especially when I played Super Mario Sunshine, like, that's a really weird Super Mario game. I like some of the cool things that they did, but man, that was a weird Mario game.
You know how you were talking about the fish earlier in the water world that would just swallow you? And yeah. How that was one of your least favorite things. One of my least favorite things. Well, two. One was, do you remember like the little red, like the pinwheels, like they were like red dots and then they would just spin at random?
Oh, they spin? Oh, yes.
And then
yes.
It would just throw you back, or it'd throw you and it'd kill you into the bottom. I hated those things. And then the other thing I didn't really like was the like the cannonballs, it was fit fire and they had like the chain of fire behind them. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are awful. Like, but if you hit them, you know, you would kill them, but they would always come back. And then like the ball and chain things, that the
chomp
were like,
chomps.
Yeah. You see those again in Super Mario 64. But yeah, man, I hated that. Hated those pinwheel things probably the most. The fish gets on my nerves too. I'd always make sure that I had a fire plant to, you know, to take it out, but it'd always come back. So
yeah.
You said you during the pandemic went through all the games and just beat them.
And to clarify, Super Mario Brothers. So anything that had the word super. So I went through Super Mario Brothers 1, Super Mario Brothers The Lost Levels, Super Mario Brothers 2, Super Mario Brothers 3, Super Mario World, even Super Mario World 2, which I had to put, I think I put out a poll, like, is this considered a Super Mario game or is this considered a Yoshi game?
And what were your findings with that?
So according to the poll, because it has the title Super Mario World, Yoshi's Island, it is a Super Mario game. So I played that one. And then I did Super Mario Brothers 64, Super Mario.
I don't know that Sunshine. I ever beat Super Mario World 2 with the Yoshi.
I did. I 100%ed that game too. Went to Super Mario 64, 100%ed that, because once you 100%ed, that's where you can like shoot on top of the roof and you can see Yoshi up there. And then 100%ed Super Mario Sunshine. 100%ed Super Mario Galaxy and Super Mario Galaxy 2. And then I did Super Mario Brothers Wii. I don't think I could play Super Mario Brothers Wii because I couldn't find it. So I did Wii U and did not only that, but also the Luigi DLC. And then did Super Mario Brothers 3D World and did that. And these were all consoles, like any Super Mario Brothers that were on handhelds. I didn't even bother with those. And then Super Mario Odyssey.
How's your Super Mario 64? Because I hear that, like, with the Super Mario Hour Challenge, where people go and try to beat Super Mario Bros., Super Mario 2, Super Mario The Lost Level, Super Mario 3, Super Mario World, and Super Mario 64 all in an hour, that the 64 game is always the one that trips them up.
It is because you, I think the why that trips you up is because the camera control's not great.
Yeah.
Like if you want to see certain things, it's very hard to see and know where you're going. And sometimes, I mean, there's a lot of glitches in the game. I know sometimes people can expose some glitches to move through that game quickly. I don't know how to do that, and I really don't want to try. But I know sometimes you could hit a glitch, and next thing you know, it just messed you up. Especially, I mean, beating the game within an hour, I think, could be done pretty relatively easy. But, yeah, Mario 64 would be the one because there's so many unknowns with how if you're going to manipulate the glitches and they're going to work in your favor, or if you accidentally hit a glitch and it, like, screws you up the whole time.
Yeah. I always hear that the final Bowser is always the hardest because you have to, like, swing him and throw him right into the bomb, blow him up.
Yeah.
You have to do that a certain amount of times, and if you miss, it just prolongs your fight with Bowser. But kind of back to Mario 3, is there anything you didn't like about that game?
You know, it's very hard for me to find anything about that game I do not like. Like, I mean, besides like the frustration of dying or, you know, but that's all part of the game. Like, there wasn't anything in that game where I thought, man, there's a glitch here that was really bad, or there's something here that I just like really don't like. And really, I can't think of anything bad about that game at all. Like, I mean, I think it's just, I mean, it's why we're talking, it's what we're talking about. Like, why is that like the best Mario game of all time? And, you know, I think there's a good population of people out there who will listen to this podcast and they'll agree. They'll say, yeah, like Mario Brothers 3. It may not be the one that I started with, but it definitely is the one where I could say, you know, this is probably the best of all time.
If you were picking a second, what would it be?
A second?
Like, do Mario 3. Like, if Mario 3 is like your GOAT of Mario games, what is your second game?
Oh my gosh. You know, as much as this game is very frustrating to play and it's very challenging, I like it because it was so different and I played it so much on my GameCube. I'm going to have to go with Super Mario Sunshine. Like, that game was just such a weird game, and it was so challenging, and sometimes I hated that game. But it's one of those games where I respect it in a way that they did something completely different and try to do something different with the Mario formula that it actually kind of worked in a way. And plus, I just love the color scheme of it, and even just the water and just the flood unit where you could just use it to hover, you could use it to clear thing. And then of course you had like the Shadow Mario and you're trying to figure out who is this person. But yeah, it was weird when, you know, but it's weird because you have Bowser Jr. basically saying Peach is his mother and you're sitting there going, how does that work? So it's a weird game, but I love it. I love it. It's so good.
Last question as we kind of wrap it up. What if you were playing Mario 3 today, like if you wanted to go play it right now on your Switch, are you playing the NES version or are you playing the remastered SNES version?
I usually play the original.
Okay.
Like, I always play the original. I don't know. Like, for me, I grew up with the NES, so sometimes that 8-bit feel is just... And even though I appreciate and I love just the improved graphics that you see on the Super Mario All-Stars, I don't know, I just really like the... I really like the NES version of the game.
I would say the same thing. However, the only thing that really does that for me in a different respect is that I would choose the SNES version, the remasters, the All-Stars, because I'm a big fan of the Super NES controller. And like, if you could hold Y and, you know, hit B and jump and go that way, I got used to that more than the NES. And so that would be the only difference for me is that, like, I like to have, I'm a big fan of the pressing Y, pressing right, being able to run and tap B as I'm running. And I know you could probably do the same thing with A and B on the NES controller, but like I'm about 10 years younger than you. And so I grew up with the SNES, so it's more, I guess, preference over the original. But like I did that a couple months ago where I ran the original and I like it. The only difference really to me is the graphics and the controller. So, do you have any other thoughts on Mario 3 as we kind of wrap it up?
No, I don't. I mean, I think we said everything that we can about that game. I mean, we can't really talk enough about that game. It's just really good. There's some good
Go
stuff in it.
get your Tanuki suit for Halloween next year.
You know what? I was thinking about, because I mean, I dressed up. I've actually, the last couple of years, I've actually like bought certain pieces to do for Halloween. Like I was a cyberpunk like doctor or like medicine doctor, and I had like the big like mask, bird mask, and then I was Vash the Stampede from the Trigun series anime. It would be cool if I could find a Tanuki suit that I can instantly not only use it as the like the raccoon thing, but if I can do something, whether I have to flip it around or hit a button or do something where it kind of becomes where I can become a statue. I think that would be cool to see something like that. I don't know if anything like that exists, but I think that would be something that is important to see. So yeah.
All right. Well, friends, we're gonna wrap it up here. And if you want to hear more nerd talk, we are on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Amazon Music, iTunes. We're dropping episodes every single week, and we will catch you next time on Nerd Talk.